Hey there. My name is Ian Forrest Jones, and I am the pastor for Narellan Community Congregational Church, located in Narellan, a southwest suburb of Sydney, Australia. We want to encourage and equip your friendship with Jesus wherever you are and however we can. This Deeper Dive podcast is for those who want to dive deeper into the biblical texts and issues raised as I research and prepare my sermons. To get the most out of this podcast, therefore, you really should listen to or watch the sermon first. Now, let me state up front, these ideas and speculations are my own and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of my congregation and its leaders. I offer these reflections only for those who are interested in reading the Bible better. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback afterward, then I would love to hear from you. You can leave a comment on the show notes page for this episode or contact me using the contact form found on our website at www.narellancong.org.au. Now, on the show notes page, you will find a transcript of what I am about to say and links to various articles that I will mention. Now, on Sunday, the 21st of August, 2022, I delivered a sermon simply titled Redemption. It was part four in our Fight the Urge to Fit In sermon series, in which we are considering a statement of belief that I represent, that a statement of belief that represents what I believe to be the essentials of Christian faith. Now, the clause on redemption from that statement reads, "We believe the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ provide the only redemption from sin and that Christ died for all people. Reconciliation and new life connected to God are possible only through his death and resurrection." Now, I do not want to complicate matters, but I would be remiss if I did not mention there are actually four images of salvation found in the Bible. Redemption, which the sermon described, propitiation, justification, reconciliation. Now, these are fancy theological words, so I'll try my best to define them as simply as possible for you. Propitiation is turning away the anger of an offended person or party by the offering of a gift. The word was often used by pagans in the ancient world, for they thought of their gods as unpredictable beings, liable to become angry with their worshippers for any trifle. When disaster struck, it was often thought a god was angry and was therefore punishing his worshippers. The remedy was to offer a sacrifice without delay. A well-chosen offering would appease the god and put him in a good mood again. This process was called propitiation. Justification concerns how believers are declared to be in the right with God through their faith in Jesus Christ. It is a judicial concept describing acceptance by God as not guilty because a person's sins are not counted against him or her. Reconciliation is the restoration of friendly relationships and of peace where before there had been hostility and alienation. In the relationship between God and humanity, Christ removed the enmity existing between us by his vicarious sacrifice. Now, each of these images are found throughout the Old and New Testaments. It would be incorrect to say any of these are more important than the others, for they all work in tandem. The Bible describes Christ's meritorious substitutionary death in effecting reconciliation of God with sinners, aka propitiation, of sinners appropriating this free gift by faith, aka redemption. The Bible also describes the promised forgiveness and salvation that become the sinner's possession by grace, aka justification, and finally, reconciliation to God. See, each image has its strengths along with its weaknesses. Theologians and biblical scholars have debated the relative importance of each of these images. They have composed theories that attempt to make sense of Christ's work on the cross and through his resurrection. These theories go by many names. There is the penal substitutionary atonement theory. There is the Christus Victor theory, the moral influence and moral example theories of atonement. According to Mike Whitmer, a theologian at Grand Rapids Theological Seminary, Christus Victor explains why Jesus died, penal substitution explains how his death worked, and the double-sided moral influence and example theories explain what we should do in response. Now, these are not the only theories, but they are representative of the debate surrounding this topic since the early years of the church. Dr. Roger Olson is a Christian philosopher and historian. He is the author of the Statement of Beliefs I am currently preaching on. He has listed out the rationale for the governmental theory of atonement. That rationale ably depicts the kind of theological and philosophical thinking that tries to make sense of the cross and resurrection and how they relate to our sin and reconciliation. The rationale for the governmental theory goes like this. Now, there are 20 points, so please bear with me. Point one. A viable theory of the atonement must take into account and in some way explain why Jesus' death was necessary for salvation, or at least why he did die to save us. Why did Jesus have to die for us to be saved, in other words? Point two, the cross of Jesus can have had more than one result. A viable theory of the atonement needs to get at the one or more crucial results that address and redress our deepest needs. Point three, Scripture talks about our guilt, shame, captivity, ignorance, indebtedness, deserving death, etc. But underlying all of this is alienation from God, a condition of being estranged from God due to sin. Point four, a viable theory of atonement must include an account of how the cross reconciles us with God or makes reconciliation between us and God possible. Point five, put another way, a viable, satisfying theory of the atonement must somehow answer the question, why didn't God just forgive us instead of using Jesus' death as the means of reconciliation? Point six, a viable theory of atonement cannot ignore Scripture's numerous references to the wrath of God against sin or God's love for sinners. Point seven, without doubt, the cross represents a divine victory over Satan or the powers that enslave. But how does that address the issues of wrath and guilt? Point eight, without doubt, the cross represents a powerful demonstration of God's love. But how does that address the issues of wrath and guilt? Point nine, something like Anselm's satisfaction theory and Calvin and Wesley's penal substitution theory is necessary to address the issue of God's wrath, our guilt, and our estrangement from God in light of God's righteousness and love. Only they seem adequately to answer the question, why did Jesus have to die for us to be saved? By incorporating those biblical aspects of our condition and redemption. Point 10. However, those theories raise profound questions about God's character, especially God's love and God's justice. 11. Is there something like a law either inside God or outside of God, but to which God is bound, that requires death as punishment or satisfaction for sin? If not, why didn't God just forgive? Or did he and the cross simply present a demonstration of God's love or a conquest over evil powers? 12. Scripturally, God is holy, righteous, and just as well as loving. The combination of our sin and guilt and God's righteousness creates a problem. God wants to forgive sinners, but cannot merely forgive without appearing to condone sin. It's not that God is bound by some law, but his character and moral governance of the universe require demonstration of how seriously God takes sin. 13. God's main motive in the cross is not anger or retributive justice, but twofold: love and desire to uphold his righteousness and moral government of the universe. 14. The cross is not God taking out his vengeful anger against us by punishing an innocent man instead of us. It is rather God lovingly taking on himself the display of his righteousness in order to uphold his righteous government of the universe. In other words, to not condone sin. 15. In the cross event, God himself, in the person of his Son, voluntarily suffers the consequence of our sin, takes the punishment we deserve, not our punishment, pays the penalty we owe, etc. 16. The cross does not change God from angry to loving, from wanting to destroy us to wanting to forgive us. It expresses the true character of God as both loving and just. It is God's way of relieving the tension between his own love and justice created by our sin. 17. The cross does not reconcile God to the world. God is always already reconciled to the world. The cross vindicates God's decision to forgive sinners by demonstrating his abhorrence of sin. It is not merely educative, as some critics claim. 18. The result of the cross is that God stands ready and able, morally, to forgive anyone who repents. 19. There are other results of the cross: victory over evil powers, demonstration of God's love, restoration of creation, justification of sinners, etc. 20. All theories of the atonement have an element of truth, but none gets at the heart of Christ's work for our salvation as biblically and incisively as this one, which in no way excludes other facets of Christ's work for salvation. Take a deep breath. That was a lot. Now, Dr. Olson readily admits there are strengths and weaknesses to this theory, but hopefully from it, you can see how there is so much to take account of when trying to make sense of Jesus' work on the cross and through his resurrection. In the end, the best summary statements about Christ's atoning work in Scripture are the following two closely related verses. From the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 19, we read, "In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us." And from the letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 19 to 20, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." In short, God was in Christ reconciling all things to himself. Remember that, and you'll be fine. Thank you for listening. I hope you found this deeper dive helpful. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, then you can leave a comment on the show notes page or contact me using the contact form found on our website at www.norellenkong.org.au. On the show notes page, you will find a transcript that links to the various articles I mentioned. Until next time, may God bless you and keep you and fulfill in you the free, full, and forever life promised by Jesus to his friends.